Recent wildfire seasons have been memorable for all the wrong reasons. In response to this, the federal government recently announced a new 10-year strategic plan, Confronting the Wildfire Crisis, a strategy for protecting communities and improving resilience in America's forests, to address what it's calling a national emergency. The plan calls for forest health treatments in a newly designated area of focus called fire sheds, which are large forested landscapes with a high likelihood that a fire could expose communities and resources to heavy damage. But there are some across Montana and the entire country that are skeptical about this new plan. In this edition of the podcast, Tom sets the stage of what it will entail before Brian Lorengo, a policy specialist for the Montana Logging Association, joins the program to discuss how much of an impact the initiative, combined with the $3 billion in infrastructure spending, could have on wildfires, land management, and the timber industry. Later on in the show, we take a few calls from some listeners to highlight some of the additional areas of concern with Montana wildfires and the work that still needs to be done going forward.
Brian Lorengo is going to join us here in just a little bit. Montana Logging Association. He is the Southwest area representative for that organization, but also he handles our federal policy when it comes to things like this. And this is federal policy. This is a new 10-year plan to address this wildlife crisis. What's it called? It's called Confronting the Wildlife Crisis, a 10-year implementation plan. And sounds like I'm mocking. I'm not mocking. I want to look at this. I want this to be effective. There have been a lot of folks who have been talking about this issue for a long, long time and not getting any traction on it. And now we see in the past several years, catastrophic wildfires, mostly in California, but also elsewhere. Okay. Not to downplay that. But I think it's the attention being drawn to those massive catastrophic fires in California finally maybe getting some traction on the national level with lawmakers who are reticent to, and mostly they're Democrats, are reticent to get in there and actually try to clean up the forest or recognize and even admit that there's a problem there. Why? Because, the environmental industry is real, real strong, real, real powerful, and you can't remove that from the forest or any policies that are going to be directed toward addressing the forest. I looked at this plan. I'm looking at it more to I guess it makes sense in a lot of ways. And there are some things that I want to address. It starts out with the strategy outlines the need to significantly increase fuels and forest health treatments. And I focus on the word treatments. Okay. Because can we treat everything in this forest? Do they not consider harvesting a treatment? Some do, some don't. But I don't see, this is what I worry about here, is I don't see in this plan much focus on the timber industry. Now, it's there. It's one of these collaborative partners that they talk about. And so in increasing fuels and forest health treatments, they want to address it with a partner-heavy focus. And who are those partners? Tribes, states, local communities. You've got private landowners, and you've got, it says here, other partners to focus fuels and forest health treatments more strategically. Who are those other partners? And how big a voice do they have? It's one of the things I want to see as this thing goes forward. One of the things that stands right out about it is that they have created, I think maybe it's a new category, so to speak, fire sheds. You've heard of watersheds, right? That makes sense. That's a drainage. Now they're calling, or they've got this category called fire sheds. It's large forested landscapes with a high likelihood. I'm just reading this from the press release from the USDA, with a high likelihood that an ignition could expose homes, communities, infrastructures, and natural resources to wildfires. So they are saying these fire sheds are about 25,000 acres in size, and then they've mapped these out. And I think that's good. I think you got to focus because the community obviously is a big part of this, but not the only part. I mean, you got to look at how much money we spend in fighting fires, right? That's been part of the problem here. 55 million last year. And Montana's share of that was $47 million. So there's a lot of state money that goes into this. But, of course, destruction, too, and loss of life. And those things weigh – well, how do you put a weight on that, okay? When you lose structures like we did, I think there were almost 100 What am I going to say? It was, did I read 120 structures in Montana or thereabouts? This was, okay, here it is. Including outbuildings, let's see, 54 primary residences, and including outbuildings, 113 burned last year in Montana. That was before the West Wind fire and burned. And then and the other one in Great Falls and Gibson Flats. So you're going to look at that number going up to about 70 or thereabouts, and outbuildings up to around 130 plus. Anyway, those numbers make a difference. It is a huge expense for us. We finally have recognized that we've been loving our forests to death, and there's more people getting on board about treatment in the forest. What will that look like? Let's welcome Brian Lorengo. He can set this up way better than I can. He's with the Montana Logging Association, as I mentioned, and we'll talk about this 10-year plan to address a wildfire crisis. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
I'm good, Tom. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Good. I appreciate you being along, and I appreciate that there's serious focus on this issue. I think for a lot of years, the Logging Association and the timber industry, but they weren't the only voice. There have been wildfire or wildlife proponents who have also jumped on board there to talk about this issue. When you look at this plan, do you see some serious momentum in addressing these fires?
You know, Tom, I really do. I think if you look past the last 10 years and the amount of acres that have burned, the cost to the citizens of the country, towns wiped off the map in California particularly.
Yeah.
We can't just sit back and not address the issue beforehand. And you know, there is going to be challenges with this 10-year plan, but I'm an optimistic person, and we finally have a plan that actually has some money behind it, and we got to do something different rather than talk about it and rather than try to extinguish it in the middle of a prolonged fire season. So industry will stand as a voice to and a tool to get things done on the ground. But there's opportunity. I mean, they're talking 50 million acres over 10 years, 20 million of that being U.S. Forest Service ground. The other 30 would be state, private, BLM, and tribal grounds. There's a lot of work to get done, and I think there's a lot of opportunity for folks that want to be involved in this restoration work going forward.
And is it restoration work? Are we missing the terms harvesting in there? Again, thinking about our loggers and our timber industry and the history that we have here in Montana. We've come a long ways in learning how to log better, and we've probably come a long ways, as this document shows, in recognizing the root causes of how we have gotten here. That's one of the focuses, too, I think. Is this document accurate in addressing how we have gotten here?
I think it has. You know, they're using the term fire sheds. And in Montana, my coworker sat on Governor Bullock's Forest Action Advisory Committee, and now that's the same document that Governor Gianforte is using. And they have priority areas for focused attention with nearly 4 million acres. So, you know, I think Montana is not first at the table when it comes to the funding out of the infrastructure bill. It sounds like it's going to be focused on California, maybe the Pacific Northwest, and then we might come in year three, which sometimes it might be better to see what's worked, what has not worked in those other areas. And I think there's a question of, you know, what does logging play the role of fire? And, you know, and there's a lot of these acres that won't have commercial value. So you might not see them on log trucks, but there's still acres that need to be treated, and so I think that's the challenge. And workforce development, you know, I'm sitting in on a panel for this. There's five focus areas that they're trying to address and have conversations about. One is science. Two is cross-boundary partnerships. Three is workforce capacity. Four is outcome-based prioritization. And the fifth one is equity and inclusion. And my focus area, of course, is, you know, where I asked to be part of is cross-boundary partnerships and workforce capacity. And how does industry play a role in particularly treating acres that may not have a commercial component. So I think that's going to be the challenge going forward. And there's also the discussion of, you know, where does prescribed fire play a role in treatment? And it's no secret, if you drive around anywhere in western Montana, federal lands, if you think the sole tool is prescribed fire, it is not going to happen. There needs to be some sort of mechanical treatment put on the ground to reduce the fuel loading before you ever can put fire on there. So I think that's going to be a challenge, is where do you put mechanical treatment, where and when and if you need to follow up prescribed fire. And this is not just a 10-year problem. This is a 20, 30-year-old problem. We've done a good job of scaring the general public since Smokey Bear days, and we got to suppress everything. So you add in fuel loading, you add in a warming climate, fire suppression, expansion of homes, and it's a recipe for disaster. And that's where we're at today. And it's going to take a monumental effort to get the acres treated on the ground that really need to be treated.
And that's why we're trying to flip the script here, too, because we've always been behind the eight ball. We have been for a decade of fire suppression efforts. And now, you said one thing interesting. We only got about a minute left in this segment, but plenty of time to discuss this on the other side. It's got to be a long-term focus. And as I see in this document, part of the national strategy to reduce wildfire risk is developing a plan for long-term maintenance that goes beyond 10 years. Do you, again, looking at this formula, not enough time to really get into it, but do you like how it's laid out for that long-term maintenance?
Let's face it, you know, the term restoration means you enter it one time and it's done. That's truly not what forest management is. Trees grow back, material grow, shrubs grow back. So we have the 10-year treatment, and then we need to address those at-risk acres going forward.
Yeah.
So it will be a long-term problem, but just look at the amount of money we spend on wildfire and the impacts to economics and local communities. We have got to do something different. If we got to get to a balance where we're not burning down thousands of homes and impacting watersheds and wildlife. And
Brian, stand by. We'll take this break and come on back and get into this discussion. Heart and Soul coming up here shortly. Montana's Logging Association's Brian Lorengo on Forest Health here on Voices.
Cattlemen, how would you like to maximize your feed dollars by minimizing your feed loss and equipment costs? It's easy with the Bee Extra Bale Feeder from Western Ranch Supply. Hi, this is Shane. Bee Extra Bale Feeders offer cattlemen hay savings of up to 70% over conventional feeders, and they're built up and durable to provide years of dependable service. Extra hay dollar savings means more profit to you. Stop by our stores in Billings or Great Falls, or check out our website at westernranchsupply.com. Western Ranch Supply, serving the big country.
You look at it as a Montana problem. It is. We've seen almost a million acres burned in this last fire season. The cost at $55 million. Those are two very big things that you don't overlook, but also the effect on the ground. I mean, you have hot fires. What's it doing to the soil? It has. There's more of an impact than just in the acres burned. That's not the only damage as we look at forest management. I'm with Brian Lorengo here on Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz alongside. He is with the Montana Logging Association, an expert would I kind of call you an expert in federal policy? Or should I just say?
I don't know. Expert's my title, yeah. but I appreciate the accolade. But let's see where we're at in 10 years, and I'll let you know whether we're effective or not.
I know it. I know. And this is what one of the things that let's talk into this partnership thing. I do want to kind of talk about what a healthy forest looks like. We have to frame that as well. But the major focus is on collaboration. But I wonder, are they collaborating equally and across the line?
Yeah, Tom. Collaborations, I believe, is the path forward. You know, I serve and attend regularly the Beaver Head Deer Lodge Working Group. And that's folks from local government, agency, industry, conservation, and the general public that just show up, support the agency, number one, and have dialogue about where work should get done. And I go back to the Forest Action Advisory Council that that put together our acres of our at risk in Montana. And that sets a framework of where we need to go. But I can tell you there's frustration amongst the collaboration, particularly that the folks that do not attend, are invited, don't show up, and still get standing in court. And I'll give you a couple examples where I'm frustrated. You know, so if you don't agree with the project, there's an objection process you have to follow. And hey, and we believe that you should be able, and I philosophically believe that you should be able to challenge an agency or
a
government.
Too. Yeah.
And so if you're gonna oppose a project, and you have an opportunity to follow the objection process, but you don't show up to those objection process hearings, and you still get standing in court, I have issue with that. I have issue with the folks that don't collaborate, but use. Simply, they use the courts to stop treatment. And, you know, and majority of the time the agency wins, but it costs sometimes 5 to 10 years to get these things through court. And the amount of time, and there is a paradigm shift that we need to treat 2 to 4 times the acres. And I can tell you what happens. You don't treat them when they go to court. They sit and they wait. And then we got a compounding problem on the ground, and the agency's got to go back. And quite frankly, majority of the time, the NEPA plan that has to be redone, nothing different on the ground is done differently. It just takes the agency years and years and thousands of dollars to get through court. And it's frustrating from us when you look at when they talk about workforce capacity, you talk about industry that's willing to partner and willing to invest, but this uncertainty of where litigation, when you look at investing money to maybe do some sort of non-commercial avenue, whether it's biomass or biochar, you know, what's the certainty of material coming forward so that you have a return on your investment?
Yeah.
And I can tell you litigation plays a big factor in where those dollars get spent or don't get spent.
Well, and that's the question that I would like to ask our environmental groups, and they don't seem to be really forward on this one. I'll give you an example here. Cause and effect, and this was the Stonewall Project, which is in the Helena, Lewis, and Clark National Forests. They had, and parts of this project, I mean, it goes back to the Cottonwood decision as well, you know, 2011, 2018, 2014, and still no work being done as those things are litigated. So for as much as a decade, later, you finally get some work done. But because of, and you have serial litigants as well. The Alliance for the Wild Rockies is one, Native American or Native Ecosystems Council. In this particular instance, there was a couple of fires that that blew up in that area. Park Creek and Arastra fires there. If they'd have gotten in there, a lot of experts agree, or a lot of people would say, stakeholders, I should say, would say that could have been avoided. The question I want to ask as we look at these partnerships, you look at these environmental groups, and again, those familiar names, and we understand it's an industry now and how they raise funds. And but have they admitted, have they given any ground on their culpability to their part of the problem here?
No, never. They're not. And you put a log in a log truck and they oppose it. Let's face it. And it's frustrating. I'll give you an example. Just today, I got an email. There's 3 projects on the Gallatin forest. One I'll focus on is what they call BMW, which is the Bozeman Municipal Watershed. That's been to the Ninth Circuit. It's been upheld. Management's being done on the ground right now. The Custer Gallatin just signed their new forest plan, and within the last couple of days, you have one of these obstruction groups now that are relitigating based upon new forest plan in our watersheds. And so believe me, this will take time and effort from the federal government, Forest Service, to rectify this. And all it's going to do is turn and burn money and time and effort when we need to shift the paradigm to get acres treated. And I'll give you another one.
Hey, stand by. I'm gonna take a news break, and then we'll come on back and address that issue specifically as well. Because as you said, they haven't admitted to their culpability in it. Is that needed to move forward. Brian Lorengo is with us here, Montana Logging Association. Brian Bennett has headlines.
I'm Angela Cadell, Group Vice President of Agricultural Products for BNSF Railway. At BNSF, we recognize producers for their hard work and commitment to provide our nation's and the world's food supply. Farming is in our DNA, and we honor you with our long-term commitment of delivering your high-quality products to market safely and consistently, no matter the season. You can count on us. This is BNSF.
New 10-year plan announced by the USDA to address our wildfire crisis. Will it be effective? Brian Lorengo is with us with the Montana Logging Association, one of their policy experts and representative as well for the Southwest area. I'm Tom Schultz. So I mentioned a couple of serial litigants, the Alliance for the Wild Rockies, the Native Ecosystems Council. They did not participate in a collaboration effort that went into that Stonewall project, Brian. They just decided to sue. They didn't decide to take part. They just decided to sue. So the question I have is the USDA looks at a collaborative process. Environmental groups don't seem to be giving a whole lot of ground on their, they don't want to admit they're part of the problem here. Do we have to have their buy-in to make our forests more healthy?
Well, I would sure hope that they would see that sitting across the table from myself, from industry, that we could have a collaborative process. We're not going to agree on everything, mm-hmm. but I think what we can acknowledge is that our federal lands particularly are a disaster. I'll give you one example, and let's just watch how this plays out over the next several years. You know, in the Beaver Head Deer Lodge Working Group, a focus area we're looking at is the Butte Watershed, Basin Creek. And if you... That's 70% of the public water supply in Butte. They had to build a $17 million treatment plant after the pine beetle because of particulate matter that would get into the water and contaminate it. So they built a treatment facility, but now they have to, you have 70% of 80% of the dead lodgepole now on the ground. And if there was a fire in there and it's sterilized soil, and you had some sort of runoff, you would lose that, you would lose that public water supply. So the collaborative folks are behind it. Local, state, federal partnerships are there. But it's a no-brainer to me that we should be able to protect watersheds, and commercial treatment is going to be an option in that. Let's just see how this plays out. I think they're going to take the same stands they have on the Bozeman Municipal Watershed Project, and it's a tragedy, really, because if you look, if you ever get it, Tom, you're more than welcome to come on a tour with us.
I'll go.
Just Google Butte Watershed, and you'll see there's a video there that shows about the stand conditions that they are, and let's just see how this plays out, and if and where those obstruction groups play this out.
Are those the same ones involved? Those, I guess we call them serial litigants. I think that's a fair title.
Well, we're early in the process of this project. The county of Butte Silver Bow has some private ground or local government ground that they're doing some treatment on right now. But 90% of the land around that is federal Forest Service. But it'll be controversial. We have some roadless areas that need to be treated. Now, we can't put roads in there, but we still could commercially treat that area. But I just see that it's going to, those folks are going to litigate. I would be super shocked if they don't.
Are they engaged right now, Brian? I got a breakup coming. Are they engaged right now in a collaborative, in a collaborative way in this process?
No, they are not.
Okay. Appreciate that. Lots more to talk about. Stand by, okay? We love our forests to death. Let's love them back to life, okay?
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Have you considered joining an organization that offers leadership growth, career development, scholarship opportunities, and competitive events? If so, the Montana FFA is for you. This is Riley Prather, Montana FFA State Secretary from Big Timber. Over 5,300 Montana high school students are taking advantage of what FFA has to offer. Explore what FFA has for you by visiting MontanaFFA.org.
Thanks to Farmers Union Insurance for supporting FFA and this message.
Brian is with the Montana Logging Association and joins us here as we get back into this. Brian, I appreciate you being there. Again, you're talking about a project that you guys are looking at in Basin Creek, probably a couple of different treatment projects, I suppose, in the Beaverhead Deer Lodge. Those serial litigants, and there's just a handful of them, and there may be various ones for at various different times, but they're not engaged in that collaborative process. But just to be clear, there are other environmental groups engaged with you on this plan?
Oh, yeah. We have other conservation partners that are steady partners that we may not agree all the time, but we support the agency and what they're trying to get done, and we see the benefits. And a lot of times there's a compromise on a lot of these areas. The other thing I would mention to you, when the agency goes into project development, there's a lot of folks behind the scenes that don't get the recognition. And maybe we can just bring the light a little bit. Those folks that spend a lot of time on the ground looking at issues before projects are ever developed and implemented. And that's their NEPA team. And I don't think these folks get enough recognition. I'm critical of them at times. But they're folks in the science-based areas that are the ones that are doing the development. And those are, there's wildlife and fisheries, and those are, those deal with a lot of the ESA issues. We have soils folks, you have botany, you have aesthetics, archaeology, silviculture, and then there's a team leader that basically coordinates the efforts with this NEPA team. So a lot of times the folks that litigate talk about not using sound science, and I have a hard time believing this. Yeah. These folks they're solid on the ground. They know their stuff, and so I just want to bring to light that the agency does do science-based management.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, I think, I don't know if you live in Montana, how you cannot know somebody who works for the Forest Service and appreciate their values in a lot of ways. I'm with you on that. I think they're doing real good science. And this is part of the court system, too, where I believe that I'm going to say you have liberal judges who are twisting intent to rule favorably because they lean toward the left. And that's my opinion. But I think there are other people who share that opinion can prove that, or at least walk that out in various cases. The one thing, we've got tools already. We've got knowledge. We've got some funding coming here. I've got to ask that question about the infrastructure funding, the $3 billion. You say it'll take a little while to get to Montana. Are we just throwing money at a problem? Is this a political solution? What are these treatments really going to look like?
Well, are we throwing money at a problem? Absolutely, we're throwing money at a problem. But you either spend it up front or you spend it suppressing and trying to steer these massive wildfires. And it's not working. I mean, like I mentioned before, you burn it basically. I mean, Paradise, California was wiped off the map. And you're burning thousands and thousands of homes. And when we're talking about science-based decision, you can develop these projects that are good for wildlife and good for fisheries and still meet the target and the intents of the fuel modeling they're using for treatments. So I think it's either we spend the money up front or we're going to spend it with pretty severe consequences that we don't have a lot of control of.
Some folks want to weigh in here. It's 866-627-5483, 781-627-5483. On the text line, I'll give that one real quick. Jim, stand by. Previously logged areas in western and central Montana where the regrowth is bull pine have absolutely no commercial value. By cleaning those areas up, it has to improve at least the downstream flows. Appreciate that comment. You can park that one and maybe get to that back in a bit here, Brian. Brian Lorengo with us from the Montana Logging Association and out of Townsend. Jim is listening. KCAP is a big signal, 950 AM out of Helena. Good morning, Jim.
Yeah, I am so happy that this issue has bubbled its way into the forum on your program. The housing discussion you had recently is of utmost importance, and this forestry discussion is right up there in relevance with our daily lives. And Mr. Schultz, you probably should break this discussion down into several different Roman numeral bullet points, because there are so many facets to this that is to us in the way things have been handled here, the impact on tourism, the impact on our health. In Broadwater County, we've been socked in with smoke for over a month and a half, maybe three of the last 5 years. I had walking pneumonia last summer, so did my wife. My other old people we know have gotten it. The impact on our economy, the impact on our treasure state. This is supposed to be a treasure state. The morality of putting bugs and lizards ahead of people, and the result of losing access to our recreational opportunities, and we are losing access very subtly, very quietly. Now, my family's been in the woods in one way or another for over 150 years. And if you want to look up the history on collaboration groups, check out the Quincy Library Group from the 1990s and compare the quote-unquote environmentalist websites with the reality websites. And this was the shiny object dangled in front of those people in the 90s. We'll collaborate. We'll talk about this. They came to an amicable agreement on how to handle the Plumas National Forest. And now where is the Plumas National Forest? 1 million acres burned. 12 small towns destroyed. And this is the same Quincy Library Group which would have had something to say about the fire that destroyed the town of Paradise. 50,000 people displaced, 14,000 acres of prime timber burned. Now, it is time for this argument to be recognized for the location that it is in. The discussion about saving the forest through wacko environmentalism is not working. And the core of strength to this perversion of how we take care of our world is the Endangered Species Act of 1972, I think it was. It's time for that to be revisited and make relevant.
Jim, because excellent. Oh, I appreciate that. I'm gonna have Brian comment, and maybe we go to the ESA. There's a lot of things in there, and you're right. It impacts us in a lot of ways. We could certainly break that down. Jim, the EPA, we're gonna stand by that. It's a good rule. It's being manipulated in a lot of ways. There's not gonna be any will in Congress, I think, to change that. Or will there be? Or are the measures that states are doing or little things that we can get in, like the 2014 Farm Bill, are those the only avenues we have, and will they be enough?
You know, Tom, I think we still need to tweak it a little bit. But I will tell you that I think that the courts are getting fed up with the obstructionists. I think they're seeing it. I mean, just look at the effort. There's not, I can't put a percentage, but 90%+ of the people understand that we got a problem on the ground and we need to address it. And we're not addressing it by allowing this to just continue in the courts. And I think that no matter what political spectrum you come from, I believe folks are getting fed up with it. It's the crybaby that continues to continue that, and I think at some point these folks get fed up.
Well, and I think we're seeing that. And, you know, I think this announcement from the USDA, especially under the current administration, is certainly recognition of that. But it just may be talk, too. We're going to see a little bit of money behind it. That's good. Will we have a longer-term strategy that comes out of this? I sure hope so. Let's take a break and come on back. Lon, stand by, listening in, Terry, and other phone calls to come at 866-627-5483. And you can text us at 781-627-5483. Loving our forests to death. Well, let's get him back to life, as I say. From the Montana Logging Association, Brian Lorengo with us, and we're back with more in just a, you know, it's a couple minutes here, okay?
At the University of Montana, students learn as much under the big sky as they do on campus. UM students are tackling invasive species in the Flathead, workforce shortages in Billings, water rights in Great Falls, rural healthcare in Havre, wildlife in Yellowstone, pharmacy in Forsyth, and education in Alberton. Wherever we are, grizzlies leave their mark across Montana. Learn more at umt.edu. Up with Montana.
Farmers, ranchers, private landowners, if you got a lease permit or allotment that contains inaccessible public lands, the Montana FWP Landowner Program provides a collaborative solution that respects landowners' rights while still connecting Montanans to the outdoors. There's incentives to private landowners to allow public access to public lands. Look into it. fwp.mt.gov/landowner. For more information, public lands, our focus here today, Brian Lorengo with us from the Montana Logging Association. We'll have just a few minutes here, so quickly to the phones listening in. Terry, maybe that's Miles City Country at KMTA, 1050 AM, or KDZN in Glendive, 96.5 FM. Appreciate our affiliates and you listening, Lon. You're here on Voices.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having Brian on and covering this topic. The thing that you haven't mentioned is that when you have a big wildfire like all these we're having, the amount of greenhouse gases that go into the atmosphere is absolutely huge. And so it's important to remember that when you have more carbon in the atmosphere, the trees grow faster with less water and hence a lot more fuel, but also a lot more harvestable timber. So by not taking care of these forests and letting them burn up and get old, we're really, really exacerbating the greenhouse problem if you believe that carbon gases in the atmosphere cause it.
Real good point, Lon. Thank you for that. And I read somewhere, and I'm going to summarize it, but one catastrophic wildfire will throw as much carbon up in the air as a full year of Los Angeles traffic. And so when environmentalists are preventing forest management, they're working against their own agenda, Brian.
You're absolutely right, and the argument on carbon is pretty interesting, and that's that one that's going to play out here, unfortunately, in court soon. Mm-hmm. Is the role of what carbon is, and there's folks that believe that you don't touch it, and you know, the carbon will stay there. And I'm not an expert on this, but as you guys well know, if we're going to protect old growth, you need to remove trees, competition around them, not only for moisture and nutrients and sunlight, but for potential fire and stand replacement fires. So it's pretty common sense, but it gets pretty convoluted as well.
Yeah, well, a very good reason to lay off the lawsuits and let some work get done in the forest. Thank you, Lon. Appreciate that. Quick comment from Casey in Great Falls, 1450 KQDI.
Yeah, we don't have much logging right around here, but we have grass fires. I think you need to have another set-aside program on dealing with that problem.
Think so, Brian?
That issue, because it's becoming more prominent.
That's interesting. And how do you mix that in?
You know, it's interesting you mention that. There's no doubt you look at some of the large fires, particularly happens early in the year. I went through Jordan a couple of years ago, and the number of acres that are burned there and the impacts to, you know, the agricultural community and the you know, and wildlife too, and the drought is challenging for sure, and the wind, you know, wind absolutely plays a role in that. Yeah, I think there's, you know, it's just not timbered acres that need to be looked at and addressed. It's all areas. I think where maybe the things get left off a little bit is, you know, these fire sheds are predominantly in the western timbered acres. I think that's the focus on them because it's, you know, the stand density is there's so many trees per acre that it's, and that's where the folks have built. So you combine people in homes And that's the challenge of where the development's been in the West.
Brian, great discussion. Out of time at the moment, but we'll return to it. Brian Lorengel, thank you very much.